Our theme verse today has been Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. How does God strengthen us? What does He do to help us in times of need? I want to share with you briefly tonight some blessed, what I like to call blessed assurances. Some blessed assurances to go with the song that we just sang together. Here are some blessed assurances by which God helps us in time of need. Number one, we have the assurance of God's paraclete. Now that's a Greek term, and simply, I'm using alliteration. That's why I had to dig deep for this one. It's a reference to the Holy Spirit. That's the Greek word for Holy Spirit. For example, John 14, 26, Jesus said to the apostles, "But the Helper," there's our word, which is translated comforter or counselor, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Now that's God or Jesus' promise to the apostles. Well, what will God's paraclete, God's Spirit, do for you and for me? Not the same thing that it did for the apostles. However, here is something the Holy Spirit will do for God's children. Romans 8, 26 and 27. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." That's something the Spirit does for us. Whenever I refer to Romans 8, 26 and 27, I always like to give this illustration, which you've heard before, but I still love it. And so I want to remind you of it. Of this mother going by her son's room, and his door is open, but she hears as she passes what sounds like he's praying. But what she hears is a reverent A, B, C, D, going through the alphabet. And she listens for a little while, and when he's through, she goes into his room and said, "Son, it sounded like you were praying, but all you were doing was saying your ABCs. What were you doing?" "Well, Mama, I was praying," he responded, "but I didn't know what to say, so I was just sending up the letters and let God sort them any way He wanted to." Folks, sometimes we don't know how to pray. We don't know exactly what to say. But one thing that God's paraclete, God's Spirit does for us is in those times in our weakness, in our powerlessness, when we don't even know exactly what we want to communicate to God, God's Spirit intercedes for us. God's Spirit is able to take our weaknesses, our hurt, and all those things and express them to God. That's an assurance that we have that will help us in times of need. Another blessed assurance is the assurance of God's high priest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." That verse 14 speaks about just how prominent Jesus is, our great high priest. He has passed through the heavens, and He is the Son of God. But not only that, verse 15, "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Not only is He supreme, and not only has He passed through the heavens, not only is He the Son of God, but He understands us. He sympathizes with us. Was tempted like we are, yet without sin. But based upon who that high priest is, the Hebrew writer continues, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Because of who our high priest is, the Hebrew writer encourages us, go to God boldly. Go before His throne. Express your prayers to God through Jesus, that you may find that mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. And the assurance is that we have a high priest who not only has God's ear, if you will, but He knows what we're going through. He knows what we're going through. Isn't it comforting to know when you speak to someone, when you're going through a difficult time, when you're able to speak with someone who has gone through a similar experience as your own? It's at those times that you really are in tune with what they're saying. You want to know, how did you get through this situation? And you know what they say comes from experience, that they've been there. And you're so more receptive to what they're saying because you have that connection. The assurance is that when we pray to God, we have the assurance that our high priest understands us, but also is the perfect representative, the perfect intercessor to go to God on our behalf. Number three, we have the assurance of God's providence. Romans 8:28, a classic providence passage. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. One of the songs that are in our songbook that we've sung through the years that speaks about God's providence is God Moves in a Mysterious Way. God Moves in a Mysterious Way. Many of us have sung that for many years. It's written by William Cowper. What we may not know are the circumstances in William Cowper's life that precipitated this song. Let me tell you about it. William Cowper was a believer, but he had sunk to the depths of despair. So low, in fact, that one foggy night he called for a horse-drawn carriage and asked to be taken to the London Bridge on the Thames River. He was so overcome by depression that he intended to jump off that bridge and commit suicide. After 2 hours of driving through this fog, the Cowper's coachman reluctantly confessed that he was lost. Disgusted by the delay, Cowper left the carriage and decided that he would just walk to the London Bridge and carry through with his intentions. And after walking only a short distance, he discovered he was at his own doorstep. That carriage had been going in circles in that fog, that dense fog. And walking, instead of walking to the bridge, through that fog, he arrived at his own doorstep. He came to the realization that the way out of his troubles was to look to God, not to jump in that river. He couldn't help but think this was God moving in a mysterious way. And so he wrote down these words. God moves in a mysterious way His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. O fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. We have the assurance of God's provision, of His providence. Number four, we have the assurance of God's purpose, of God's purpose. That He's desirous of a particular purpose in our lives as Christians. I want you to consider James 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or perseverance. But let perseverance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. James speaks to the fact that we're going to encounter trials that are going to test our faith. But he's saying, going through these trials, these tests of our faith, the benefit is that it builds perseverance in us. And as we persevere through the trials of life, we develop spiritual maturity. In fact, it can't come any other way. That's God's purpose. We must think about that as we live through life, that yes, with this life there are going to come trials. But God is interested, as one person said, He's more interested in our character than our comfort. And what God is wanting from us is to continue to grow to spiritual maturity. And unfortunately, that doesn't happen unless we persevere through trials and grow to that maturity. So we have this assurance of God's purpose. We also have the assurance of God's people. In John chapter 11, at the passing of Lazarus, as Jesus comes to Mary and Martha, who are grieving over their brother, we read that many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. We also find later in that chapter that when Jesus saw Mary and Martha grieving, that Jesus wept. He wept with them. This is something that, again, we've seen over the last couple of weeks. God's people responding to some folks that we love dearly. I don't think the Frasers would mind me sharing this, because they told me about it. But when they got home from New Orleans Tuesday night, Shelley told me that their neighbor, Darlene Formica, I like to say she broke into their home. I think she knew the code to get into their home. But she, and she's a member at the university church, she prepared a full meal for them. Is that right? I think it was 11:30 at night. But she suspected, as was I'm sure the case, they had not eaten, they needed food. That's God's people responding to someone in need. And that's the assurance that we have, a benefit of being a member of God's family, to have that assurance, to know that we're not alone. 2 Corinthians 7:6 is another example. Nevertheless, God who comforts the downcast comforted us, Paul says, by the coming of Titus. God's the great comforter. But how does He comfort? One way is through His people. It's through His people. 1 Corinthians 12, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. What a blessed assurance to know that we have God's people to lean upon and to help us. Number six, we have the assurance of God's precepts. Psalm 119, verse 50, we could read the whole psalm and have this point emphasized, but it would take us a while. But here's one passage out of that whole psalm that's dedicated to the glory of God's word. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Many of you going through difficult times have told me about passages of Scripture that have helped you, especially through those times. Many have told me about how when they were going through difficult times, that the Word of God took on new meaning to their lives. You would go to the Word of God, not just to be filled with biblical facts, but you go to the Word of God to see what He has to say. You're looking for some solace. You're looking for comfort. You're looking for strength. And God's Word can help provide those things. That's an assurance that we have, that this Word is living and active, and it helps us. Romans 15:4, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So many, we have been given help and comfort through the assurance of God's precepts. Even Paul would write to Christians who were concerned about their loved ones who had died in Christ, and he would tell them some things about what to expect and that reunion that's going to come. And he finished that section of Scripture by saying, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Another assurance is God's promises. God's promises. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is not slack or slow concerning his promise. He will do what he has promised to do. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us." NIV states it this way, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. No matter what happens, we can stand on God's promises." Look, notice this statement that I read recently. "It's a gloomy moment in the history of our country. Not in the lifetime of most men has there been so much grave and deep apprehension. Never has the future seemed so incalculable as this time. The domestic economic situation is in chaos. Our dollar is weak throughout the world. Prices are so high to be utterly impossible. The political cauldron seethes and bubbles with uncertainty. It is a solemn moment of our troubles. No man can see the end." That's a commentary that we might think may be appropriate for today. But do you know when this statement was made? It was first published in Harper's Weekly in October of 1857. 1857. And the point is, as gloomy as it seemed then in 1857, and yes, as many problems as we see in our world today, yet there are many blessings. And one of those blessings is that we can be assured that God keeps his word. God keeps his promises. Here is the Christian's hope in light of this gloomy statement. Here's the Christian's hope. The future is as bright as the promises of God. Another assurance is of God's prayer provision. God's prayer provision. Psalm 120 verse 1. "In my distress I cried to the Lord," the psalmist says, "and he heard me." He doesn't identify the distress, just the fact that he was experiencing it. But he also spoke with assurance that when he cried out to God in that difficulty that he's going through, he was sure that God heard his prayer. 1 Peter 3 verse 12 assures us of that. "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." God is watching, his ears are open to the prayers of his people. Two more. Number 9, the assurance of God's place. Here's one of his precious promises. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." These words were initially spoken to Jesus' disciples that were troubled by the fact that he had told them that he's about to depart. And where he was going, they couldn't immediately come. So he calmed their troubled hearts by telling them that that place where he was going, one day they too would come and they'd find a place prepared for them. We have the assurance of God's place. Tillett S. Tedley wrote many songs that we sing. He was a brother in Christ. In fact, in 1903, at 18 years of age, he confessed his faith in Christ and was baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of his sins. A short time later, we're told, wearing his jumper overalls, he paused under the shade of a hickory tree about 75 feet from where he had made his confession of faith. His mind was filled with the glory of the gospel that he had embraced. He pulled out a 2-inch pencil and a frazzled envelope that were in his pocket, and he wrote the words of the song that we sing, "Heaven holds all to me." He wrote, "Earth holds no treasures but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I'm going. Heaven holds all to me. Out on the hills of that wonderful country, happy, contented, and free, loved ones are waiting and watching my coming. Heaven holds all to me. Why should I long for the world with its sorrows, when in that home or the sea, millions are singing the wonderful story? Heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me. Brighter its glory will be. Joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me." And I believe you'll amen this statement in your heart. Heaven is getting sweeter and sweeter. Romans 8:18, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And finally, we have the assurance of God's presence. Psalm 139 speaks to the omnipresence of God. Listen to what the psalmist wrote. "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." We're assured that no matter where we are, what we're going through, that God is with us, and that he himself has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." May these blessed assurances bring us that strength and that comfort that we need to realize the blessings that we have. And all these blessings belong to the child of God. So there's only one question I want to ask. Are you his child? If you're ready to respond in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to become a Christian, to be baptized into Christ so that your sins can be washed away, so you can be added to the family of God. If you need the prayers of the church on your behalf, we want to pray with you and for you. And won't you come right now as we stand and sing?